Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For our meditation tonight, I'd like to emphasize one verse from that gospel reading. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The emphasis tonight is going to be on that, actually that verb in the center there. Amazed. I think there's something worth dwelling upon in that little portion of this Christmas story. The shepherds come with a story that they tell to people who were not there at the manger. And we hear of their response, and they're the people who, as far as we know, never go to the manger. And they're amazed. And I like that emphasis because I think in some ways that's us. These people hearing the story from the shepherds didn't see Jesus in the manger. Neither do we. And they're amazed. But I wonder, as we hear this story told tonight, do we leave with the same amazement that they had? Before coming to Central, I was a theology professor, and the class I taught most frequently was Introduction to the New Testament to college freshmen. The vast, vast majority of them were doing it for a graduation requirement. Did not have a lot of interest in the topic. And there was a lot of biblical illiteracy, and so most of the class was simply going through what is in the New Testament. They really didn't know what was in the Bible, except for this story. When it came to the birth of Jesus, students did know at least some version of this story of Jesus' birth. And in fact, they knew it with quite a lot of details. Granted, some of those details were often wrong. But it wasn't the kind of lack of knowledge that were there for other parts of Scripture, even the crucifixion and resurrection. They knew the story, but what was lacking almost universally was what these hearers had: amazement. They were often not amazed by anything in the story, and they found it, and I think I can quote those teenagers correctly, boring. And yet our gospel today, for people who frankly are in the same situation, says all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The students weren't amazed by this story, and I wonder if sometimes we haven't fallen victim to the same thing. We might not find it boring, but are we amazed any longer? And I'd like to posit a few possible reasons for that. Probably the reason most obvious is that we don't get so excited about it because it's become so common for us. It loses something of its significance. But I think there might be something else as well. When we focus on this story and we think about this story, I think we often focus on the desperation of the Holy Family found there in Bethlehem. We imagine the story, and I think it goes something like this. Mary is 9 months pregnant, and they're trudging toward Bethlehem from Nazareth. Mary riding on a donkey, and they barely get to this entrance of the motel and pound upon the door with Mary already in labor, and they plead with this innkeeper to let them deliver the child. And then we usually have this very grumpy innkeeper who sends them very harshly and unfeelingly away, and then they have to smuggle themselves into a stable with a bunch of animals, and Mary gives birth in the worst circumstances you can imagine. Perhaps that narrative resonates for some of you, the way we can think about it. And I do know, absolutely emphasize, it's a possible way to think about that. But actually, very few of those details are in this gospel story. The gospel from Luke doesn't say she's 9 months pregnant when they travel. It doesn't say how long it was before the travel to the birth. All it actually says is while they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. We have no idea how long they'd been there. Further, unlike almost every passion play, there is no innkeeper. All it says is there was no room for them in the inn. But room for what? All it says is she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger. It doesn't actually say that's where the birth happened, just the baby's resting there. Some have even questioned the word for inn, whether the translation there could mean more something more like a guest room in someone's house. It's a little bit ambiguous. And I say all that not because I think that common narrative is wrong. It very well could be accurate, but only to illustrate how many of the details we seem so sure about are not as clear from the gospel as tradition seems to suggest. And I do think there's a lot of value in those traditions. But I wonder if that emphasis of the story of desperation and crisis, can cause us to miss something, which is the wonder. I think the common narrative leads us to compassion and tenderness to what is just this human tragedy. And we can recognize in that narrative the unexpectedness of all of this. But maybe not really the amazement, the wonder of it. Amazement tends to arise from power and might that is also in this story. The story where alongside the angels, the hosts of heaven, which could mean all who have gone before us, appear and cry out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom his favors." The story where this is the Savior, who's the Messiah, the Lord. I think we can sometimes get lost in the details of the humanness and the desperation. We can lose the power and the glory. And we recognize too, of course, that power is hidden in weakness. Not necessarily the weakness of desperation, but simply the weakness of God becoming a human. The weakness of a baby, that the powerful Savior shall come in such a frail and seemingly powerless form. That dichotomy might lead us to all who heard it were amazed at what they told them. And I do want to be clear, I've been emphasizing this amazement. Amazement is different than worshiping or even agreeing with the accuracy of this story. To be amazed has the same double meaning we have for it in English. It can be awed and in wonder due to the grandeur and majesty, which probably would lead you toward worship. But it also can be awed and wonder at what the seemingly obvious foolhardiness of this story. That it would seem simply unbelievable and unlikely. Some have even ventured so far as to say, sometimes we ought to translate this verb, "Let's be confounded." And of course they were confounded. The message that there is this great act of power, the showing up from the hosts of heavens, leading us to call out and to worship, "Glory to God in the highest," and encapsulated in what is frankly just a very normal family in a manger. Not only is that story wild and unexpected, but I think a little confounding. I'd like to invite us a moment to be confounded together. And then those shepherds might be a model for us after all. Thus far, I've talked about their audience, those people who heard that story. But notice it didn't say that the shepherds were not amazed and confounded. I think sometimes we get the impression that these shepherds, they see this great thing, and so now they're completely convinced and become evangelists. But you know, it doesn't say that. When the angels show up, it's the angels who say, "Glory to God in the highest." The shepherds are described as afraid. Then they go and they see this family, and then they go tell people about it. It doesn't say at any point there, they're worshiping. Not yet. But after sharing the message, after sharing, just relating and recounting the confounding work of God, then only then after that, and after they've seen this modeled, do they themselves worship, glorifying God. Amazement on its own, there's not a lot you can do with it. It's simply shocking. But if we're able to abide further, don't leave that feeling of amazement, but maybe tell the story of amazement, then we can process. And what is happening in us and for us, and lead somewhere beyond mere amazement. And if we yet abide further yet, maybe we can worship. For very few is that instantaneous, to be amazed and now I'm worshiping. For most of us, we start confounded and bothered, and that's okay. It's a process. I'd like to imagine tonight that's what these shepherds are doing and what we're invited to do. Allow ourselves to be a little amazed and confounded, and then invite us to sit in that feeling together and simply tell the story. And in telling the story, allow the grace within this story to come to us. Allow the grace of God to come into our hearts this night and slowly, deliberately, healthfully invite us to worship. Amen.